What's up, everyone? It's that time again. It's the this latest episode of No BS. Man, I'm excited for tonight's show. As you guys, if you're listening on Facebook Live or listening on all the places you can download our podcast, you know, we're coming to you a little later than usual, but you know, it's okay because, you know, we want to catch you guys in the prime time because that's how excited we are about this week's show. Man, last night with the finals, so much happened last night. You know, we were going to do a show last night, but I told the boys, is like, you know what? I feel like we should wait till tomorrow to do this week's show because there's so much that I think is going to happen tonight. You know, I was under the impression that the finals would be over after last night. Obviously, we all know it didn't, but there were so many good storylines that happened last night that I would hate for us to have to wait until a week to talk about it. So I convinced the guys that was the best thing to do. They said that they agreed. So now we're here. We are down one man to this tonight, though. I do have my Mr. 405, Adam Birchman, with me, though. If you want to say what up, Birchman.
What up, Birchman? You know, real quick, so we can jump right into things, give a shout-out to it's going to hurt me to say this, Rod, but give a shout-out to Big Poppy. Hope he's doing all right, man. If I had to have a favorite Red Sox player, it'd probably be him, unfortunately. He's done a lot of damage to my team in the past. But I hope he, you know, life is more important than sports. So, and he's done a lot of good for the community, the sports world as a whole, and he's beloved everywhere. So I hope he's doing all right and comes to a speedy recovery.
Most definitely. For those who don't know, Big Poppy, you know, a legendary Boston Red Sox player. To be quite frank with you, he's a hard guy not to like. He kind of rallied that city after the whole Boston bombing. Basically, he was shot in Dominican Republic. That's where he's from. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know, Adam, if you've seen some of the kind of the stipulations or maybe why he got killed. Or not kill shot, like, you know, there's some conspiracies, maybe a side chick on the side. So, I don't know. We can get into that later. But before we start the show again, welcome to those who are watching on Facebook Live and also those who are listening on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. Shout out to everyone that's watching those live. You know, Michael Strecker, shout out to you. Kyle Pickup, you know, congrats. You know, we just got that W early on 2K. I'm really happy about that after we got kind of beat in, you know, that first one. But We came back. We got a win on our second time around. So shout out to Kyle. Shout out to Mike Strecker. Shout out to Michaela. Shout out to everybody who's watching right now on my page. Shout out to Kent. We want to show all y'all some love. So Dustin couldn't be here tonight. You know, he's doing his whole dad thing. You know, so, you know, Adam or, you know, me and Adam, we understand, man. As a dad myself, Dustin, I get it, man. Do your dad thing. You know, dad, you know, your kids come first. So, Dustin apologizes. We're going to try to do a pregame, like, talk about the before game six on Thursday of the finals. So, Dustin promises to be there for that. And also shout out to Chase. You know, Chase was holding it down with the big man down low. You know, so didn't mean to leave you out unintentionally, Chase, but shout out. You know, we got that dub. I know I don't always play 2K as much as I want to. I'm going to try to jump in with you boys more often. So, and Adam here is an avid 2K player as well, so shout out to Adam since we just talking about 2K because Adam's pretty good. He's got skills in those sticks too, though. So like we like to do every single show, let's just do some quick shout outs real quick. Adam, like I said, I've already done my shout outs to Michaels, Kyle, everybody that's watching, and again, shout out to Dustin. We love you, man. We'll see you on Thursday. What about you, Adam? Any quick shout outs before we just dive in? We have a lot to talk about tonight.
Shout out, you know, Dustin unfortunately can't be on, but we all know why he's not on, because the Raptors lost last night. So the truth beholds in the loss last night. So get those kids to sleep, and we'll debate on Thursday. On my feet, I've got a shout out to my pops, Alan Birchman, Terrence Camp, Kevin Timbrook, William Harris, Miguel Rios, Jonathan Botkins, and Jeanette Morris. So thank you all for watching, and that's pretty much it. I'm ready to jump right into this, Rob. This is I'm ready, man.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the few shows. Normally, each show we talk about several topics, but like last night, like I said, I'm so glad that we waited to do tonight's show after Game 5 because I feel like we could do an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours show on just on what happened last night and kind of what the results of last night, you know, obviously with KD getting her, you know, we could talk a whole hour just about what could happen to him next. So again, let's just jump right in. Obviously, game six was last night in Toronto. The big news was going into that day, you know, KD, I mean, ever since game four was over, there was already that stipulation that pretty much there was the chances of KD coming back were probably good. You know, beginning of the day, it was questionable. Then it got moved to game time decision. And then it was he's going to play with no time strains. Like, he was going to play like he was completely healthy. He played well for the first two quarters or midway two quarter. He had 11 points. I think he was 3 for 3 behind the three-point line. And the Golden State Warriors looked like the normal Golden State Warriors. KD looked like he was at his, you know, fully healthy until – midway second quarter, he made, you know, a basketball move on Serge Ibaka. And when he did that, you know, he re-injured. Well, everybody always thought, like, someone like Kyle Pickup, and, you know, shout out to him again. He was the one from day one when he injured that, when they were calling it a calf. Kyle was like, I'm not buying in. It's an Achilles. Like, Kyle, and I think a lot of people like me, Adam and Dustin agree, like, we thought it was an Achilles the whole time. So when they said he re-injured his calf, but we're all like, no. He definitely, if he didn't hurt his Achilles before, he definitely did this time. And so obviously nothing's been made official yet. He had his MRI today, but I think we're all expecting the worst, that he did rupture or tear his AC or his Achilles. So after that happened, you know, the kind of general thought maybe you would think would the Raptors would rally around that and they would, you know, end up winning the game, and they did look that way. The final 6 minutes of the game, you know, Kawhi did his thing, and it looked like the last 3 minutes that the Raptors were going to seal this game, and obviously they didn't, and Klay and Steph Curry went on a roll and hit some pretty big threes, and obviously now we're looking at a game six in Oracle. It's the last game at Oracle Arena, so, you know, they're going to be ready to try to close that out. But let's just focus mainly right now on the Warrior and KD. That's the biggest news, I think. That's probably the biggest storyline of the rest of the finals. I mean, that might even be a bigger storyline than whoever wins this title, in my opinion, Adam. But, you know, a lot of blame's been thrown out there, Adam, about, you know, whether or not KD should have been or he should have been on the floor. You know, a lot of people will make the case that, you know, they want to toss out the blame. You know, it's easy to blame someone in a situation like this. So I want to just ask you, Adam, you know, if there is blame to be given, who do you, in your opinion, deserves that blame, if anyone at all?
Well, I think the general consensus of us all watched the game last night. Great game, by the way. It was a fun one to watch, as most of the finals games are, unless it's Cleveland and Golden State last year. To place blame on any one person or group of people, I think, is not correct, because I think it's just as a whole, you know, you're down 3-1. You need a spark plug to come in. Why not bring arguably the best player in the league, in my opinion, the third best player in the league, back? I've said all along, if he's 60%, you bring him back and at least watch his minutes. That's what I was kind of surprised about. So he played 10 of the first 12 minutes of the game last night, and coming back from an injury where he hadn't played in a month and they're worried about him cutting and moving and sliding on the court, I think it's kind of questionable on maybe Steve Kerr's and the coaching staff's part for playing him so many minutes right off the bat. But he came out 3 for 3 from the three-point line. He had 11 points, I believe, in the first quarter. You know,
and see, Adam, I don't mean to cut you off, but I was really surprised by that. I mean, he hadn't played in over a month. In his first game back, there's no minute restrictions. Like, that blew my mind.
It all boils down to the fact, Rob, that they had to win that game. So, I mean, you got the best player in the world, arguably. You bring him in and throw him in, see what he can do. And he was making a difference. I mean, they had a double-digit lead at one point in time in the first quarter. You know, and then the first arguably the first move he makes that's towards the basket, you know, trying to dribble around Ibaka, you know, he takes a wrong step and pivots the wrong way and hurts himself. And, I mean, it's misfortunate. And I think we're going to get into more in-depth about, like, the point in time when he got hurt, because I've got some insight on that. But I don't think you can blame anyone. I think if you ask Durant, you know, he would say I would have played again if I had the opportunity to. But obviously they're, you know, told to say those types of things and encouraged to say those types of things. But, I mean, if I had to place blame on someone, I think Steve Kerr is where I'd place blame. Because if you watched the post game last night, they had, I don't know if you watched, Rob, but about midnight, they had the GM come on from the Golden State Warriors, and he was crying. And basically, like, it took him a lot to muster up the strength to come on and say that, you know, he deemed it an Achilles injury. They didn't say it was a torn Achilles, but he deemed it an Achilles injury. And he basically put the blame on him and said that, you know, Durant's a stand-up guy. He gets misunderstood and misrepresented. And, I mean, that's a whole other debate, you know. That's I would have to disagree with a lot of that. But
and it looked like Steve Kerr was just trying to dodge, like, any question about it. You know, it's like, you know, which I guess you could kind of goes more about, you know, you say you blame Steve Kerr. You know, I kind of maybe think he blames himself. So maybe he's trying to, like, dodge those questions, you know. You know, he kind of just took, like, he took the easy way out and not want to answer any questions, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think a lot of the general manager statements, because he spoke first, I think that took a lot of pressure off other players and coaches and individuals to come out and say, you know, hey, this is my fault or shouldn't have played him like that, because the GM ultimately made the decision that he was okay to play. So, I mean, I guess you can blame him, but like I said, I don't really think you can blame any one person because it was probably going to happen anyway. But, I mean, fact of the matter is Golden State still won the game. So,
exactly. See, I'm with you, Adam. I mean, I don't think you could place blame on just one party in particular, but I definitely think that you can blame both the organization and also KD himself. And, you know, I was getting in this whole discussion with Mike Strecker earlier in our group chat, and he was, you know, he's like, well, how can you blame the player? And I'm going to take, and in my opinion, I'll tell you exactly how you could kind of blame KD in a way. But let me first start with the Warriors. I think the, you know, the Warriors could be blamed for several reasons. You know, just, I, you know, there's been all these reports that came out. You know, one of the reports that came out was that the organization felt that KD was not as injured as he claimed to be. And that not only that, but he wasn't fighting hard enough to come back. And whenever a player hears that, you know, you can't help subconsciously, you know, Adam, if you and I were on a squad on a team and I got injured or you got injured and there was rumors around our team saying, you know, I think Adam's not that hurt as much. I think Adam's maybe fake. I mean, I don't want to say faking it, but I think Adam's kind of milking it. You know, you're going to hear these things, and I think it's going to push you to want to maybe come back maybe sooner than you're ready to. You know, it's going to motivate you. It's going to want you to prove me wrong. It's going to put all the coaching wrong. So I think that may have pushed KD to maybe make a decision that he wasn't really ready for. And it was also reported that, like I already just said, that his teammates were even – there was a report that his teammates were even pushing KD to come back. And that – what else did it say? Yeah, they're pushing to come back. And then also – I just think also there it's a blame. I think, in my opinion, that maybe the Warriors maybe misdiagnosed this issue, injury. Cause we already spoke about when he went down against the Rockets, everyone's assumption was, oh, he tore his Achilles. But everyone was, and then they came back the next day or later on the night and said, no, it's a calf issue. And apparently if they strongly believe it was a calf issue, and I guess it very well could have been, but I think I speak for you, Adam, and a lot of people, we weren't buying that at all. And so I think that in a way he might have been misdiagnosed maybe, because we saw the whole thing with Kawhi, you know, maybe how that was handled incorrectly. And so we could have had a similar situation in Golden State. The only difference is, and I will back Kawhi to this day, he made the right decision. And I think this what goes back to my next opinion on how you can blame KD in a way is, nobody knows your body more than you. Like, no one knows your body better than yourself. And that's why I respect Kawhi a lot, was in a sense that even though the training staff says you're good, you're clear of the play, what's stopping you, Kawhi knew there was something wrong. It was not going to jeopardize his career. or anything like that. In a way, I felt like that's where you can blame KD in the sense is because there were reports even that morning of that when people who saw him in practice said that I would be surprised if he even plays. But judging by he was there was still a limp with him, or you could just tell he just didn't have it yet. And yet, so you're going to tell me, and that was the morning of the game, so you're going to tell me a few hours, you know, that he's magically ready to play. I think that KD let all that talk that I just talked about get to his head and decided, because we know, Adam, that he's kind of soft-headed where, you know, he's one of those players that will reach out, and if you diss him or say something he doesn't like, he's going to fire back at you. So I definitely think he had a chip on his shoulder, and he was going to prove that he's going to come back in any way possible. And I think he pushed himself and put himself in the game that he wasn't ready for. And he ignored the body signs and just went out there to prove a point. And so in that sense, I think is why I say you can also blame KD in that sense too. And that's just my opinion. Like I just said, Adam, I'm not going to blame all of it on KD. I'm not going to blame all on the organization, but both people were at fault. And I just hope that this doesn't cost KD in the long run, because KD is, you know, even though I knock his decision for going to Golden State, he's one of the
great. Thank you. By the way, I appreciate that. Thank you.
What's that?
I said thank you for knocking his decision to go to Golden State. I appreciate that.
Exactly. I think a lot of people feel that. Although I knock his decision and I don't really take value in any ring that he ever wins for them, you know, I think it's going to take for him to win a ring somewhere other than Golden State to mean anything, you know, just like, you know, people think, and Adam, you always say, I got to get my LeBron reference in, and here it is. LeBron's title in Cleveland means way more than anything that he did in Miami. And so that's in my opinion with KD. He's going to have to win something somewhere else for a Kate, in my opinion, for a championship to even mean something. But I just hope that Adam, that the Warriors nor KD ruin his career. I mean, obviously we see players bounce back from Achilles injuries, you know, a lot more frequently, but you know, they sometimes do lose some athleticism, and you know, some players don't ever come back at all the same way. Like Derrick Rose. I mean, Derrick Rose never came back the same. I mean, yeah, he showed kind of glimpse of it, you know, last year in Minnesota. But for the most part, you know, we're never going to see that MVP caliber D Rose anymore. And I really hope that we don't. As much like I said, I don't respect his decision. I respect him as a player, and he's gonna go down as an all time great. I just hope that he didn't put his career on the line last night, in maybe a situation that was lost anyway. They're down 3-1. Do we really? I can understand maybe if it was a game 7, but why put your body on a line and maybe in a situation that's probably inevitable? I mean, people believe that this series is still going to go in Toronto's way. It's just going to be 6 or 7 now, you know. So why put your body and your career on the line for something that's probably already a lost cause? But that's my opinion. But that's what I wanted to say. I don't know if you want to chime in and add anything else, Adam.
Yeah. So, few more shout outs. We got a lot of people tuning in tonight. I appreciate it. I know Rob and Dustin do too. Daniel Hogue, Kyle Pickups jumping back and forth between feeds here. Katie Jane, Michael St. John, Kendi Temple, Tell Tim I Said Hello, Kevin Woolen, Matt Johnson, Eric Witherspoon. Matt Johnson's tuned in from Michigan, by the way. Cameron Carson Smith, David Nagel, and James Lee. Thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate it. So, real quick, you talked about, you know, how if we play through injury, anyone that knows me, I'm a walking sprained ankle. So if you've played sports with me or seen me even walking, I very, very oftenly sprain my right ankle. But I'm the type of person that I'm going to play through an injury. And that's just me. That's my mentality. It's probably not the smartest decision, and I probably shouldn't do that with my job and everything, but so be it. But that's just my mentality, and some people are like that. And I don't know if KD's trying to change his cupcake mentality and mold that he's a tough guy now and that, you know, he wanted to play. But it's the NBA Finals, too. I mean, people are not thinking about that aspect of it enough. It's the NBA Finals. It's an elimination game. If you can run and play, I mean, all he has to do is catch the ball and shoot above everyone else. He's got above a 7-foot wingspan. So, I mean, if he can catch the ball and not move and shoot and be effective, why not play, is my opinion. Did he cost himself, you know, possibly a year if it's a torn Achilles, yeah. But he's not going to cost himself any money. I mean, the New York Knicks will pay him whatever any other team is going to pay him, you know. I mean, someone's going to pay him the amount of money he's going to get, whether he didn't hurt himself or he hurt himself, in my opinion. And my pop said that he just landed wrong, no other story. He made his decision, nobody to blame. I agree with that, you know. They're going to ultimately they're going to come to a player that if it was LeBron, you already brought him up once, so now I'm stuck bringing him up. If it's LeBron in this situation, it's not going to be determined by the coach if he plays. LeBron's a coach any team that he's on, so he's going to play. And Steve Kerr is the head coach of the Warriors for sure, but I think Durant's on that type of magnitude and level that if he's hurt, he's going to play if he wants to play. But I think he wanted to contribute to his team however he could. Right, and he was effective to a degree. I mean, they won the game. But was it a poor decision in hindsight? Yeah, but I mean, it's not. I don't think it's going to cost him a dime in free agency. If anything, it benefits the Warriors because maybe now he'll be stuck staying there.
Right, and just what you said, he wanted to be out there, and that's why I have to again place blame on the Warriors. Because at what point, Adam, if a player wants to get out there and play, at what point does the organization look at the best interest of the player? Like, I know you want to play, but you're not ready. And I understand that play – I mean, just because you're clear doesn't mean you go play. And then that was the thing that Michael Strecker, you know, shout out to him again, that was trying to basically put his point on our chat was, well, he was clear to play. Yeah, and that may be, but at the same time, a player's got to know his body. And that was the whole – and again, that's what people like Skip Bayless knock. And they rely so much on the Kawhi Leonard situation. The training staff said that he was good to go. Why didn't he play? He thought he quit on the team. Again, at the end of the day, at some point in or another, although, yes, you know, you want to think about your career, but you also have to think about your career after your life after basketball. So are you really going to put yourself in harm's way? Because let's be honest, all the teams care about is what's your worth to them. And the moment you become worthless and useless to them, they're going to kick you to the curb. So you always have to look out for you. And that's what I'm saying with KD was, I mean, and maybe I'll get some knock for this, but I honestly deep down, like the Warriors don't really care about KD. The owner, whatever, you know, he put on that sob story about how, you know, he cares. And I'm not saying that he doesn't, but at the end of the day, it's a business. And that's the one thing that former players will always give advice to current players is remember.
Oh, you don't think that. I'm going to cut you off. You don't think that the players on that team care about KD?
I'm not talking about the player. I'm talking about the organization level, like the owners. And all. I'm talking about that. I'm not saying that, of course, like I truly believe that Steph Curry and Draymond and like I'm not saying what they're saying is fake. Like I truly believe that they love him and whatever else. But like the ownership, they're the ones that are paying the players. You know, that's the part that I'm saying, like I think in a way. In the end, they're looking out for their best interest, and they may not always be looking out the best interest for the player. And that's why the player has to be responsible and have a high enough IQ and know that, well, yeah, the team is pushing me maybe to come back, but I'm not ready, and I'm not going to put myself in that harm's way. And that's why I respect so much about Kawhi. He took all that heat and all that criticism, and he didn't care. Now look at him. He's probably about to play. He's probably about to win his second championship.
Oh, cut the brakes there.
Hold on. He's probably about to win his second championship, and he's gonna have his second. So his second championship, the first one of like as the primary guy, and he's gonna have his second Finals MVP. And so ultimately, in the long run, he made the right decision in what he did, and just sat out as long as he did. And yes, Adam, I strongly believe, and we could get into our predictions later, but I strongly believe. I mean, Kawhi's about to get that ring again, and he's about to get that MVP. But you kind of dove into my next question. You started talking about the free agency, and that's what I wanted to jump into next was, obviously, in about 10 days, he has about 10 or 15. I think he has until the 20th or something like that to opt in to his current contract. He has to notify whether or not he's doing that. So, obviously, the finals – whether it goes game six or it's, you know, whether it's over on Thursday, the finals are going to be over on Sunday. Worst case scenario, the finals will be done by Sunday. So then he's got a week or so after that to decide whether he's going to opt in. And obviously going into this before the playoffs, into the season, there was no way in hell that he resigns and sticks with the Warriors. But obviously, like you already said, Adam, it's quite possible that maybe he does stay with the Warriors now, because all I know is, like, is this, is in my, the Warriors better be one of those teams that offer him a full max contract, because he pretty much put his career on the line last night. And so you gotta take care of him. You gotta do right by him and offer him a full a max contract. So that better be a team that offers him a max contract. I mean, KD is one of those players. He's gonna get a max contract regardless. So I don't think he's gonna be hurt money wise. But I do think that some teams are gonna step back and maybe be skeptical of maybe reaching out to him. And the reason why I say that, Adam, is because what's the one thing or the two players that we kind of heard that were linked to each other this postseason? That was Kyrie and KD. You know, whether it was New York or whether it was Brooklyn or whether it was whatever the case may be, those two free agents were tied to each other. And so now I think his injury last night is going to have a cripple effect in a way. And I know that, you know, as the rumor is right now that, you know, Kyrie is pretty much rumored to go to Brooklyn at this point, but let's say the Knicks are still involved. I think the Knicks are only going to want to take on Kyrie as if they were also going to get a KD, because they sat and they saw the way that Kyrie handled Boston. So in my opinion, he showed that he wasn't that much of a leader, that maybe he is. And we talked about this a few shows ago, that maybe Kyrie's wanted that second option more than he's a first option. And at least if he went with KD, he would be probably considered more of the second option to KD. So now that KD Mayer is injured, and I mean, if it's in a ruptured Achilles, like most people believe, he's going to be out at least 1 year, at least. So, and even when he comes back, it may even take a half season or so before we even see anything that resembles the KD that we know and love. So, like, are we really going to want Kyrie to come there and be solo and have the similar drama that he had in Boston? I don't think so. You know, not solo. So I think it's going to have an effect on someone like the Knicks, whether who they actually target. I mean, I think the Knicks are still going to go out and try to go get KD, because they've been the laughing stock of the NBA for several years. I'm sorry to say that to you, Adam, as a fellow Knicks fan as you are, but we both know that your team has not been serious for a while. And, you know, but the one thing I'll give you Knicks credit fans, that you guys love your basketball and you're committed, and, you know, you guys are loyal to your team. So I'll give you that. But I think if anything, this, in my opinion, he's more likely, probably, if I had to bet money on it, I think he's probably likely maybe to stay more in Golden State right now, because I honestly think that, I mean, if he's already going to be missing out a year, I think if you're going to rehab, why not rehab, unless you don't trust him at all, why not rehab with people that you're already aware of and familiar with? And then not only that, but if let's say you sign with the Knicks, chances are, unless they get a Kyrie, they're not going to the playoffs next year, likely. So at least if you stay with the Warriors next year, you re-sign for 1 year, you sit out the entire regular season, you can come back come playoff time next season. And so, you know, whereas if you go to New York, you're probably not going to play at all, because chances are, like I already mentioned, you're not going to the playoffs. And so, you know, I think maybe staying in Golden State's a good thing. I think maybe this injury will maybe rally and make them more connected, you know, because you heard all the nice things that they said about KD. And I think maybe he gained some love for them for supporting them. So I think that maybe he opts in and stays with them 1 year. But I think that's the only thing that's affected his destination, but he's going to get a max contract regardless. But that's my take on it. I mean, you can maybe add anything else you want to add to it.
So those of you that just tuned in, we're talking about Durant's injury and how it affects free agency. Brian Windhorst came out last night and said this changes everything. It kind of does. The first point I want to make, though, that you said is that who's to say that anyone knows that man anything? I mean, he's done enough in his career. No one owes him a dime. I mean, obviously, someone's going to pay him, but no one owes him anything. So I just want to establish that. This is a blessing in disguise for the Knicks. So if you're watching James Dolan, which I'm sure you are because you just like streaming the internet and checking out random podcasts and live streams, don't go out and sign KD. He's hurt. Don't waste the money for a year where he's not going to play. go trade for freaking Anthony Davis or someone else. Go do something else with that money that you're trying to spend and throw towards someone. Don't go sign a guy that is questionable for playing. Like I said, Rob, I think this is a blessing in disguise for Golden State, because I think now they get him. I wouldn't say they get him at a discounted price, but they are. I'd put them as one of the front runners, not the front runner, but one of the front runners to sign KD. Yeah, because he's not going to – a team would be foolish to go sign him to not play for a year and maybe come back in the playoffs, but there's no guarantee he comes back in the playoffs. So, I mean, even if you make the playoffs, you don't have a guarantee that you get this superstar player to come on your roster and make a playoff push.
I mean, and KD already said he's not taking a discount. So even if he decides to stay with Golden State, they're not going to get him at a discount price. I think he's going to – if he stays with – I think it's more likely that he opts in, get his $31 million, than rather opting out just to take less money with the Golden State Warriors. So, you know, that's my opinion. I think he's going to be a Warrior probably likely more than anything. You know, some people believe that, you know, regardless of this is a thing, he's going to New York regardless because that's where he wants to go.
Well, let me throw this at you, though, Rob. What if, and I'm just saying, what if, you know, his offers are not where they want to be, and a team like, I don't know, the L.A. Lakers comes in and offers him a buttload of money, he don't have to play right away.
And so, you know, that's interesting you bring that up, because, I mean, that was something that some people brought up, was one of these teams like in New York or someone lowball him because of his injury, then you have someone like L.A. that actually gives him the full max. If I'm KD and all I do is I want my money, then, yeah, you can't rule out that possibility. I don't think it's likely, but you can't rule it out.
Well, and then, you know, he sits out for a year. He's got maybe 2 years with – they put 2 years with LeBron on the team. Then they hand the keys to him. I mean, he'd only have the keys for, like, maybe another couple of years, but then you bring up another guy. You know, maybe if they get an Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard or someone like that, and then you know it's just a revolving door like that. Right. So
I have that opportunity too. I think this just has more of a ripple effect on free agency more than anything. Because I'm just going to go out and live here. This is what I predict happens. I strongly believe, in my opinion right now, if I had to bet any sort of money, I think Kawhi is staying in Toronto. So that eliminates one major free agent that's off the list right there. I think Kyrie, there's no way he's going to New York solo. So I think he's likely going with Brooklyn. So there's another big name free agent off the list. Then you have, in my opinion, right now, KD, I think, is likely to stay because of the injury, opt in, take the $31 million of the Warriors. So now he's off the market. So all these teams that made big moves to free up to get one of those three big guys, they're no longer to be, in my opinion, I think they're staying where they are, minus Kyrie, obviously. So then you're left with Klay. I think there's no way in hell that Klay leaves Golden State. So now Klay's off the market. So now your big name free agents are what? A Kemba Walker or, you know, I don't know who else is done. But I mean, Kemba Walker is probably another big name out there. So, I mean, Damian Lillard, but they're already planning on locking him up. So there's no way in hell I don't think Damian Lillard leaves Portland. So I just think that, like you already said, Adam, I think last night's injury to KD just totally ruined any type of big thing happening in free agents. So I just think that, like I already said, I think these major players, except for Kyrie, are going to stay where they are. And so that's
Kawhi's leaving, man. He's not staying in Toronto.
But why leave? I mean, I understand he's from L.A., but we already thought that Paul George was going to go to L.A. because he's from L.A., and then he surprised everybody and signed and stayed with your OKC Thunder.
So, yeah, but he's playing with Russell Westbrook. I mean, who's Kawhi got in Toronto? I mean, are you saying Kyle Lowry is on the same level as?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that at all. But right now, but like obviously, he took this team to the East. There's, you know, you give a player like Siakam more experience, he's gonna only get better. You know, and Kyle Lowry. I mean, I don't know. I think Kyle Lowry's probably reached his ceiling. He's probably not gonna get any better than he is now. But the fact is like whenever you have a big name free agent, I think you can attract more people to come play with you than if you didn't. Like, I mean, without LeBron coming to Cleveland, there's no way in hell no free agent was going to come to Cleveland. But because you have a name like LeBron, people are willing to do that. And I think that Kawhi's got so much earned respect the way he's performed out in these playoffs. I think he's shown that. I think there would be some free agents that would want to take less money and go play with Kawhi.
Who came to Cleveland, though, that's a star that wasn't traded there? or didn't get drafted there.
Who came there without being traded, you said?
Or drafted there.
I mean, when you put me on the spot, I can't think of anyone at the moment.
Because Kevin Love was traded there, right?
Well, right. But
okay, Kyrie was drafted there.
Okay, let's
see. J.R. Smith was traded there at the Mon Shumpert. Richard Jefferson, star at 38 years old.
Okay, Derrick Rose took less money. D-Wade took less.
Derrick Rose is a washed-up average player.
But
that's not a star signing with a team. I mean, no one went to Cleveland. If you want to say that someone that's a superstar getting players to go there, minus Golden State, Paul George to come here.
But my point
is, they traded for him, but they got him to re-sign here.
Okay, and that's all good. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, there's no way in hell that those players would even consider even going there without a LeBron. That's all that I'm saying is that LeBron or a Kawhi makes a place like Cleveland or Toronto, you know, an actual logical place to go, an appealing place to go, as if they weren't there at all. That's all the point that I'm trying to make. You know, and without a Russell Westbrook, Paul George doesn't re-sign in OKC likely, because it's not like he wasn't the guy already in Portland or Indiana. So, I mean, because if Westbrook wasn't there, I mean, he would have been the guy in Oklahoma City. So, you know, that's all I'm saying is, if you have a millennial type player, you know, once in a generational type player there, they're more likely to lure those big name free agents there. That's why I think that whether Kawhi's in a Clipper next year or wherever the case may be, he's going to lure superstars wherever he goes. Now, whether or not he can convince them, that's one thing, but I think it actually helps them. I mean, because if I'm a role player, why not go to Canada and play with a guy like Kawhi? You know, like, why not? It's in the East. You know, it's not as hard as the West. So the chances are them getting back to the finals with someone like Kawhi, they're good, as it did if you went to the West where it's stacked, you know. So that's just my opinion, Adam. I just think that KD's, like we've already just said again, was, you know, it had a huge impact on free agency. And I think it took a lot of the excitement out of free agency because of everything that happened last night. Because I just don't, in my opinion, players are going to stay. Those bigger names are going to stay. And I think the bigger news is going to be second tier of free agents, like a Kemba Walker. I think maybe kind of the bigger signees, you know, like a Kemba Walker or a Jimmy Butler. But that's just my opinion, Adam. But if you
don't... Well, let's pose this question to the No BS audience. Why don't you, if you're watching or if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, why don't you message the page on Facebook or Twitter at NoBS405573 or one of us, and let us know a situation where a superstar player got other key name players to go there not being trades. Because I'm interested to see, because I mean, I disagree with you. I don't think LeBron got anyone of relevance to sign with Cleveland that wasn't traded or drafted there.
Right.
And I'd like to see, I'm interested to hear some people's
arguments. I want to give a shout out, you know, so we're giving out, for those who are listening on Spotify and iTunes and Google Podcasts. Like I said, we also live stream on Facebook, and Mike Strecker is giving me all his thoughts here. And, you know, shout out to Mike Strecker. And Mike brought up a good point is, you know, Kawhi is not a normal guy. He's not one of these normal superstars. Is that I think that Kawhi, I don't think he's going to go anywhere to chase money. I don't think he's that type of guy. You know, I just think that Kawhi's, you never know what Kawhi's capable of because he doesn't talk. You know, so I would not be surprised. In my opinion, I'd be more surprised if he left Toronto than if he stayed. That's just my opinion, because I think, why not? What is the one thing that you want to play for as a player? Is win championships. In his first year in Toronto, he's one win away from getting a championship. Why leave that if what you're wanting to do is win championships?
But it's clear he's not about playing for dynasties. If he was about playing for a dynasty and championships all the time, why would he not stay in San Antonio?
But Adam, he left San Antonio because he felt like he was being disrespected by the training staff and the player. Because if you believe Tony Parker and Monty Ginobili pretty much questioned whether he was hurt the entire time.
Hey, you know, shout out to Ginobili. I'm repping his jersey.
Exactly. And you're wearing a Ginobili jersey tonight. But, and so, like, your guy even said that I even ruptured my, or whatever the case may be. Like, I think it was Tony Parker. I think it was Tony Parker that said that I actually, my injury was worse than Kawhi's, and yet I played. So, if no offense, Adam, if you and I are teammates and you're coming to me and be like, well, why are you, my injury was worse than yours, what are you still doing? I'm going to be like, I'm going to give you a big F you, Adam, and I'm going to get the hell out there. You know, so like, I don't blame him at all. So that's why he's not in San Antonio anymore, because of Tony Parker, Ginobili, and all that training staff.
So he's all about it. He's all in his feelings then.
I don't think so. Because I think that just people like that, and then, you know, people like Skip Bayless that think they quit on him. I don't think Kawhi is that type of player to quit on people. I just don't see that. I think he's a team player, and the Spurs cost him sells Kawhi Leonard instead of the other way around. So, and not only that, but the only appealing part about San Antonio is Pop. Pop's not going to be, you know, Pop's eventually going to go away. Then what's the allure to stay in San Antonio? I mean, like, for real, that's why anybody would ever want to go to San Antonio, is to play for Pop. I mean, let's be real. But anyway, let's just move on real quick so we can get all these other stuff. So, obviously, we already said, Adam, it's 3-2 now. The Raptors looked like they were going to win the championship, you know, with like 3 minutes to go. Kawhi went with, what, 10 unanswered points or whatever the case may be. Like, he was playing very well before the Warriors did their thing. But so, obviously, now the series shifts back to Oracle. Now, I know they did take games 3 and 4 in Oracle, and they're 3-0 this season at Oracle. But you can't expect the in my opinion, it's hard to believe that the in the final game in Oracle that the Warriors would drop that game. Now, I'm not saying it's not impossible, but I just find it hard to believe that they're going to drop the final game in Oracle, in my opinion. So, like, Adam, I think this series is going 7 probably now. I'm hoping that it doesn't. But with that being said, Adam, like, do you think that the Raptors pretty much blew the chance to win the series? Do you still think there's a chance that they could win?
So when Durant went down last night, and Toronto's fans, not all of them, but a good portion of them, started cheering his injury, and there's a video out that they're at a bar in Toronto where they're slow motioning the injury of KD, and fans are going crazy cheering for it. I mean, that, even if you just don't like a guy or you don't like a team, you still don't do that. And Golden State, Seth Curry last night said that they don't need any type of motivation.
Stop, Adam. Were you referring to that video that you shared to me on the thing?
Yes.
That's actually a meme that circuits around. There's been different videos for that, so that wasn't in Toronto.
Well, I stand corrected on that, but if you still watch the game, there's still fans. There's a guy in the front row, like, pointing and clapping.
Right. I just wanted to correct you in that sense.
No, I appreciate it.
I didn't want you to make a boss or Toronto fans out to be something that they're not.
No, but I mean, Steph Curry last night said that they don't need any type of motivation. I think he's full of crap. I think they needed a kick in the rear, and that was it right there. Their brother going down and being carried off the court, and Curry was in the game at that point in time. He took himself out of the game to go walk Kevin Durant off the court with Andre Iguodala.
I thought that was a pretty classy move.
Right, and that's what they needed. That's what Golden State needed to ignite their engine and get them back to where they need to be as far as winning. And, yeah, I realize that you can't hear Rob on this end, because if I turn it up, it's going to go crazy. But that's what they needed to get their engine rolling. And, man, I think it's over. I think Golden State wins in 7. There's no way in hell they're losing at home.
I'm with you. And you know, and I keep hearing the experts kind of relate, you know, what, you know, and I guess they've gone on record. They kind of, you know, when Cleveland came back 3-1, one of the things that they said that helped motivate them and felt like they had a chance was the suspension of Draymond Green. And obviously we all know what happened. They used that and got back in the series and won. So a lot of people are thinking that maybe this is their moment where they take this injury in game 5 and use it as a motivation to win the series. So I like what you said there. But I'm with you, Adam. I think there's no way in hell that the Warriors lose game 6 at Oracle. the last game again, as I said, for the last time they're going to be playing in that arena before they go to San Francisco. I think that this team is rallying behind and playing for Kevin Durant, so they have that extra motivation. So I strongly believe it's going game seven. Then it comes to whether or not you – how much you bank and believe on home court advantage. Obviously, home court advantage didn't mean anything for the Warriors a couple years ago. And obviously, the Toronto Raptors just went into Scotiabank Arena and beat them on their home floor. So, obviously, we know that they can beat them in game seven if it came down to that. But I just think, Adam, what it's going to come down to is – right now, the only thing the Warriors can rely on right now is Steph and Klay. Yeah, Iguodala can everyone have some shots, but he's not someone that you can count on to make 20 points on a consistent basis. And then you have Boogie. Yeah, Boogie had a good game last night, but Boogie showed a lot last night that he can make dumb decisions and put himself in bad places. Like, he easily could have cost him the game last night when he had an illegal screen. And then, of course, he had that questionable, you know, ball interference, which we can debate whether or not it was or not. But the fact is, he's getting himself in a situation, like, what is it, the last 2 minutes of the game, you heard his name seem like every possession for doing something that causes a turnover. But not only that, but Boogie Cousins has been inconsistent as well. So can you count on Boogie Cousins to give you 20 for game six and seven? No.
So, yeah, they still have their core three of.
Well, yeah, I mean Green, but and that's a, Green is one tentacle away from getting a suspension, Adam. So, if he gets a suspension, one bad call in Game Six, assuming that it goes beyond Game Six, if he gets one bad call, he's one foul mouth, one cuss word, one reaction away from being suspended for Game Seven. So then you're back to Klay and them all together just by themselves, Adam. And I just think that eventually that's going to take a role on you. I mean, it did on Klay in game four or in game five, I'm sorry. Or, no, it was game four where, you know, he had to do everything in the previous game and then he had nothing to show the next game. And I think it's going to eventually come down to that where it's going to down to health.
Let me break it down to you this way. Who's the defending two-time champs right now?
I mean, obviously it's the Warriors.
All right. And to quote, you know, an all-time favorite of everyone's on this show and anyone in life, Ric Flair. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And woo! I'm saying, woo! I'm right here. He says in North Carolina, but I'm saying OKC, Golden State's the man. I mean, Golden State is the champ, the two-time defending champions for a reason. That point in time last night when they started cheering for Durant's injury, whether it's one fan or 500 or 5,000, that ignited a fire that was not in Golden State prior to that point in time. Those guys were hyped up, ready to go. They are not losing at home in an elimination game. I promise you that. And game seven, if it goes to a game seven, they've got all the confidence in the world after coming back from 3-1. They've already done it once. They've blown it once, but they've already done it once. Guaranteed. Watch. It's going to be a good next two games and real interesting, but Golden State's going to win. I think they got it sealed up, man.
Well, I mean, I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too, but I think they got it sealed up.
And let's just jump into it because you've already talked about it a few times. So, obviously, when KD went down, obviously it appeared that some of the fans were, you know, clapping and excitement, and then you saw someone like Kyle Lowry and Green, and then they're kind of like motioning the crowd not to cheer and all that, and they eventually chanted his name and as he was walking off, you know. So I guess, Adam, do you think that Warriors fan you should be, or not Warriors, but Raptors fan, you should be ashamed on how you reacted, or what do you think?
I think you're wherever venue you go to, whatever venue you go to, you're gonna have fans that have drank a little bit too much or consumed too much alcohol or, you know, did whatever before they go to a game. So I think you're going to have fans that react in a poor manner and don't reflect the overall team fan base. But like I said, that was the wrong point in time to do that with the wrong team, with the wrong players on the opposing team, because that is all Golden State needed to get motivated. But back to your point, though, I think that, like I said, I think the overall fan base in Toronto is a great fan base. I'm sure it was just a handful of fans that started the initial, you know, cheering chant or whatever it was. But at the same time, that if they lose this series, I'm telling you, that's the moment to look back to right there.
Yeah, and you brought that up. I remember when that happened. You messaged it on our group chat. That was like, we're gonna remember that. Now, see, I'm gonna give. Like, obviously, I'm with you. It's never okay to applaud, you know, for an injury. But I'm going to give the Raptors fans a little bit of a pass. And this is the only reason why is because you got to – just speaking as a fan, okay, if I'm playing – if your team is kicking my team's rear and it looks like you guys are going to dominate us and you're going to easily walk away with this and, you know, it – not only that, but let's put in bigger spot really before I get to that point. Your team is one win away from winning the championship. You know, it's gonna be this will be the first time a champion has won in the NBA outside of the US. So your team's about to make history. Your city as a whole hasn't seen a championship in I think like what 30 years, I think it's been a long time. Obviously it'll be the first of the Raptors franchise. But anyway, so your emotions are already high, you know, you're already excited. You know, it's already that sensitive to try to keep your emotions in check. And then you have a player like KD, a once-in-a-generational player. He's kicking my team's behind. And then something – and if there's something – in, and, of course, you never hope that someone gets injured. But if something like that has an opportunity to switch – flip things in your favor and allow you a better chance of winning – like, wouldn't you not be a little excited? Like, you know, like, obviously, I'm sure Toronto fans wouldn't wish harm against them. And, wish anything terrible on KD, because I don't think they're capable of doing that. But you can't tell me, Adam, you're a Steelers fan. If the Patriots or anybody were kicking your guys' behind and Tom Brady went down with an injury, you wouldn't be a little ecstatic that Tom Brady's out, right? I mean, that's just your normal fan reaction. You know, and that's why I'm saying you can't criticize Toronto for having a normal.
Yeah, but I'm not going to stand up and start like chest bumping people and giving high fives and clapping. I mean,
well, yeah, and I'm with you. I'm not, and for those fans that did that, and I'm sure there were some fans there that actually did like, well, I'm so glad he did tear his AC, you know, tore his Achilles. I'm not trying to say that there weren't any of those people, but. I'm not completely criticizing these Raptors fans for reacting the way that they did, because again, I mean, and if Breton, if you're watching on Facebook, you know, as a Falcon fan, if Cam Newton was killing us all damn day and Cam Newton got hurt, of course I wouldn't wish that his career was done, but I'd be a little excited that he was out, because that means we have a chance to come back because your best player is gone. And so Anything a competitive advantage that I can get, why would I not be ecstatic about it? That's just my opinion. So that's why I'm not going to fully pounce them in judgment, because I just think that you and I would have that same reaction.
Right, but did it not appear that Golden State was just bored, like the players on that team? To you, I mean, to me, it kind of feels like that they've done this rodeo several times. They know what it takes, you know, and they were coasting. So, I mean, as a fan base, yes, I get the fact that it benefits you because you have a better opportunity to win now. But if you know that you got a team on the other end of the spectrum that's just coasting along and needs some type of spark, don't give them that spark. I mean, and Drake's reaction is kind of interesting to me. I don't know if you saw it or not, but
he put his arm around KD.
Yeah, he put his arm around him, but he kind of had like a smirk on his face at first. I mean, and who knows? I think they're all buddies outside of the, you know, the NBA and whatnot. But his reaction was kind of interesting to me and intrigues me, because I don't know necessarily that he was like sincere at first, and then like he knows the camera's on him, so I kind of think he changed his tone and his demeanor after he realized, hey, I'm being watched by millions and millions of people, you know, and the camera's going to pan in on me when he walks by me.
Exactly. But let's just prediction real quick. So we're predicting that this series is going 7 or no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say too. And if you're watching live on Facebook, you know, let us know what you think. Is this series going 7, or are the Raptors going to wrap it up in 6? You know, also maybe give your other feedback on other things we talked about. Whether you think KD stays in Golden State, or if not, where is he going? You know, let us know. So let's just wrap up the, you know, a few other stories we saw, you know, or other big news that's going on right now. We already touched on Big Poppy. Obviously, he got shot in Dominican Republic. He's back in Boston now. Reported to, you know, a full recovery.
They flew their team plane to the Dominican Republic to fly him back to Boston.
Which I thought was really crazy. The fact they took a team plane, so that was kind of interesting. So, you know, thankfully, you know, he's in stable condition. It was reported that he's laughing and, you know, he's got his normal personality, so that's good to hear. Other big news, Adam, this week was with the NFL. The Eagles, they signed Carson Wentz to an extension. Through 2024, $107.9 million guaranteed, which some people would say was a questionable decision because he hasn't played one playoff game in his career, because he's been hurt, and the one Super Bowl that the Eagles have, it wasn't him that was under center, so already people think he's already injury prone, and yet they just signed him to an extension. So, what are your thoughts on that, Adam?
I mean, he's a franchise quarterback. You got to pay quarterbacks that kind of money. So, I mean, it's the best that they could do. They don't have Foles anymore because he's with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, I think they did what they had to do to secure a young, talented, top-tier quarterback.
Who do you think has a better season next year, Nick Foles or Carson Wentz?
Oh, Carson Wentz. He's got better players on his team.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
But – let me ask you this, Rob. What's the best thing in sports?
Like, you mean as far as like what do you
just
mean?
Just like in a game standpoint, what's the best type of game in sports?
I mean, we already just talked. I mean, game sevens are always the best.
There you go. We got a game 7 tomorrow night in hockey.
Yeah, that's actually about to prove. Obviously, it would be kind of cool for the Blues to wrap it up at home in Game 6. And I even predicted before the series started the Blues in Game 6, and obviously that didn't happen. But strangely enough, Adam, I don't know how close you've been watching these Stanley Cup. For whatever reason, the Blues seem to play better on the road. They're 9-3 on the road this postseason. So for whatever reason, they kick up their – game on the road than when they do on the behind in front of their home fans, which is surprising. Adam, so at my prediction, Adam, I say game 6 winner was going to win it all. Obviously, if the St. Louis, I mean, Doug, because they would win it, but like I strongly believe if the Bruins won game 6, they were going to win game 7. I hope I'm proven wrong, but I'm banking on Bruins winning game 7. Tarask or whatever his, you know, the Boston's goaltender. He's been playing tremendous. I mean, he only gave up one goal in game 6. A lot of people think he's going to be the MVP of the Stanley Cup. So I think Tarask or whatever, I think it's going
to
be
Tarask, yeah.
Yeah, so I say the Bruins are going to win game 7. Again, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to stick with the Bruins. They win 3-2 in game 7 in Boston.
Okay. Here's what I'm afraid is going to happen. Being, you know, we're all rooting for the Blues along with Pam Beasley. I'm afraid, and just hear me out here. I'm afraid that what's going to happen is that somehow they're going to get Big Poppy on the screen there. And that crowd's going to go nuts for Big Poppy because he's not just a Red Sox you know, Hall of Famer. He's a Boston Hall of Famer. Everyone loves him in Boston. Somehow, his presence is going to be made, and that is just going to ignite that team. You know, and Boston's got more experience. They've been that far before. They've won a Stanley Cup. They've made multiple Stanley Cup finals with players on that team, like Zdeno Chara, Marchand, and Patrice Bergeron's been there before, too. But I think that that's just going to rally that team around. And it stinks that, you know, the Blues have to run into that. But I think the Blues' best opportunity was winning at home in game 6, unfortunately. And they just kind of were not ready for the moment, which, more or less what it was. But
Adam, missing one thing, though. The Blues have their own secret weapon.
Who's that?
They have Pam.
Hey, on the NHL Network, I was watching pregame. They did an interview with her. She actually knows quite a bit about hockey. She's got a infant son that plays hockey in St. Louis.
And her husband is the coach or whatever.
Yeah. So it's pretty she knows, like, she's not just an avid fan because the Blues started doing good. So it's cool to see her actually, like, be a –
Well, she grew up in St. Louis. I didn't know that. And did you also know that Phyllis from
– Yep.
This is also from St. Louis. She was telling us a funny story, and you know, before we end the show – back when they were filming the show, one of the seasons, during that time, it was the Red Sox versus the Cardinals in the World Series. And she was telling us how her and John, you know, the guy that plays Jim, gave her crap and was able to brag about the Red Sox beating the Cardinals. So she's hoping that this time she gets the best of him and gets to rub it in his face that the Blues beat the Bruins. So I thought that was kind of funny. And he told a story about how Steve Carell he convinced Steve Carell to be in the same dressing room with John, and they were cheering against the Cardinals, and Phyllis and her were in their dressing room, you know, cheering for the Cardinals to beat the Red Sox. I thought it was kind of a cool story. So,
obviously Phyllis and Pam, and then it was Michael, Jim, and Ryan.
We're
all Boston fans.
Yeah, yeah. So, and obviously before the series started, John kind of challenged Jenna on Twitter or whatever like that. So they have their nice little rivalry still going. So I think it's kind of cool. I'm always going to be Pam's my girl on The Office. So.
We could do a whole episode on this.
Yeah, so you know, you can have your big poppy. You know, we have Jenna Fisher. We have Pam. That's all we need is Pam. Pam, Pam. So that's all we need. So, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But if I had to bet any sort of money on it, I'd go Boston just because it's game 7 at Boston and the goalie, you know, he's just playing out of his mind. I just think that crowd's going to be crazy. And like you said, I mean, if they do pull out of, I could definitely see them doing that. Big Poppy, like, giving a shout out on the Megatron or something, and I can definitely see that. I really can.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's the angle they're gonna take. I just have a funny feeling, and even if they don't, that he's such an icon in that city that it doesn't matter if his face is portrayed on anything or he does anything, they will galvanize around him as a city. So I think that's gonna happen. And then real quick, I don't know if you saw, Rob, but the Women's World Cup started, and the U.S. won today 13-0.
Yeah, I saw that. A lot of people were thinking that maybe the FIFA committee kind of did that unfair for Thailand, that Thailand had no business playing a team like USA. And obviously they showed – what was it, Carly Lloyd or whatever? She had 4 goals today?
Alex Morgan had 5 goals.
Yeah, 5 or something like that, and – I saw a funny meme on Facebook that I guess in the last 4 Stanley Cup – or not Stanley, but World Cup games, the U.S. men in World Cup games only had 12 goals and 4.
The women had – I saw that too.
They had 13 in one game, you know.
I mean, 13 goals is a lot. That's probably more than I scored in my 4 or 5 years of playing soccer as a whole. Grant, I wasn't that good, but
– Right. I didn't watch any of it. I mean, I'm sure I will down the road. I mean, obviously – it's in France. Obviously, France is probably the favorite. You know, they think – I was hearing that, you know, if they get the
– No, the U.S. is the favorite.
I mean, you know, France is the host nation.
Right.
Obviously, if they get to France, they play them in, like, the round of 16, apparently, in the knockout stage. I mean, you can't rule out the hosting country. You know, they have the whole country on you. You know, it's one thing to have a whole city on your back cheering you on, but have a whole country. You know, that kind of motivates you to play extra well. But, I mean, I expect the – I'd be surprised if the U.S. women's team don't repeat. And hopefully we get the men at that level at some point, but I don't think they're that close yet. But which, real quick, I want to talk about before we wrap this up, Adam. I don't know if you heard about this, but did you know that the women currently are actually going through I think they're suing or they're trying to petition because they feel like they're being paid unfairly compared to the men.
Yeah, I did see something about that, and rightfully so. I mean,
they've
been relevant for like the last 4 or 5 World Cups. I mean, ever since Mia, from what I can remember, ever since Mia Hamm in the mid to late 90s, like 96, 2000 era. I mean, she really.
I mean, they're the current. What does that say, you know?
Yeah. I think that they deserve to be paid on a top salary. I mean, they're going across the world to play. And I mean, I'd be interested to see what they're being paid right now, though.
Yeah. I haven't seen any reports, but like, I mean, I definitely agree. You know, we live in a society where it's all about equality. Men and women should get equal pay. And, you know, it's kind of sad that we're in 2019 and we're still having that issue.
Absolutely.
It definitely in sports because money, I can't say, you know, I don't know. I don't have any stats to back this up, but I would say, especially in the world of sports, there's money in the world of sports with advertising and all these other things that go around sports. There's no way in hell that they can't pay these women more than they are. There's just no reason for the reason they can't, you know, because I know that soccer is not as popular here in the U.S. as it is overseas, but FIFA and soccer is still a popular sport in the United States. It may not be the popular, but it still is popular. So you're going to tell me that these women, there's not enough money to pay these women? I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I mean, and just look at it in all of women's sports. I mean, WNBA, you know, the WNBA has expanded and gotten more popular every year. And I don't think those athletes are being paid nearly, obviously not nearly as much as NBA players are. But they should be paid on – there's got to be some type of scale that says if male athletes are making this type of money, women athletes need to make this – at least this percentage of what men athletes are or male athletes are, because they're playing the same sports. You can have the same injuries. You know, everyone – athletes can have family, may have families. Everyone's got – they're doing it as an activity for fun and a career, but the end goal is to support their families and loved ones.
And I think even more for the women's side is the women have one thing that, of course, men can't do. They can have – they, you know, you like WNBA people, they actually will sit out a year to start a family. Like, that's real for them, you know what I'm saying? And so women should be able to be compensated for that, you know, because if they're sitting out a year to have a baby, they should be compensated to be able to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know, so that's what I think is crazy. That's one thing in men's sports we never have to worry. Men don't take off in men's sports to start a family. Like, they don't do that. And so they're already sacrificing a year, you know, because the WNBA season is not near as long as the NBA season. I think it's only, like, 2 months or 3 months. So, like, basically, whenever, you know, a woman has a baby, they're out, what, 8 to 10 weeks, if not longer? So they're missing significant part of the season, if not missing the whole season, to be with their kids. So then they're not getting paid. And I'm sure those contracts aren't guaranteed. So there's got to be something that's got to be done differently. So that's, I just want to touch on that before we wrap up.
You hear it right here. We're starting the trend to try to increase women's salaries in professional sports, right?
You hear that? No BS loves our women. We cherish our women. We want to take care of our women because that's some BS. Adam's a ladies' man. He wants to take care of you ladies, you know?
Right.
But anyway, I think we got a good stopping point. You know, thanks for those again who watched us on Facebook Live. Kyle Pickup again, Michael Strecker on my feed that pretty much was involved the entire show. You know, he left comments for the entire show. So shout out to Mike.
Yeah, and like I said, I know Mike posted a comment on here. He couldn't hear Rob. I was trying to avoid having the echo in the background. So next time I will have it squared away to where everyone can be heard on here because we're trying to figure out – and Grant, this is only our 7th episode since we've been back. I mean, can you believe it's been 7 episodes, Rob?
No, it's crazy.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we're constantly growing, and I can tell you right now, there's more people that tuned in tonight than I think any other episode so far from what I've seen. So we appreciate it. Any type of feedback you guys have, please provide it to us. Anything that you want to be discussed, right. You know, please give us some insight because we want this to be as interactive as possible.
Right, and Adam just touched on this is our 7th episode. So for those of you who are just tuning in this first episode, what you're not, you can't not go back and look at our previous episodes. Like I said, we give you two ways to watch this show or listen to this show. As far as platforms, there's Facebook Live where you can kind of watch us do it live, or after the show, usually about 20 to 25 minutes after we go live, we publish our podcast each week on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. So there's no excuse for you to not be able to catch the show. If you come into the show after we're ending or middle way, you can go back and listen to whatever segments you want of our previous show. So again, and about usually about 20 to 30 minutes after each show, we publish it on those platforms that allow you to go back. So go out and watch, give us some love. Go back and watch this show if you missed anything, and go back and watch our previous shows. We definitely appreciate it. You know, take us on the run, take us in the gym, you know, wherever you may go, you can take us. So again, Adam and I appreciate it. I know Dustin appreciates it. Again, he will be back very next show. Again, we do hope to do maybe a short special on Thursday before game 6. So we'll see you probably for about 20 to 25 minutes ahead of game 6, kind of give us our perspective. But
yeah, if you want, you know, tune in, watch Jimmy Kimmel, mute him on the TV, and listen to us.
For real. For real.
But you can also reach out to us on every on all social media networks. So I think we're in the process of getting an Instagram up and running. I don't think we have that quite yet, but that's in the works. We do have Facebook. All three of us, Dustin, myself, and Rob, have Facebook. We also have a NoBS fans page. We also have a Twitter. The handle's at NoBS, capital N, lowercase OBS, 405573. So there's lots of ways to reach out and interact with us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Most definitely. But again, this is Rob, the host with the most. It's been Adam, Mr. 405, and then of course Mr. Lippis has been here in spirit. Again, we appreciate all the love, and we'll be back next week with Adam. Believe it or not, we're gonna have a champion crown probably by the next time we're back. So we'll be interested to see who that is. So
you know, one thing we could do also is when it goes game 7, try to do a little bit of a special on game 7 too. But
Most definitely.
Let's just hope that it's a good rest of the series and that it's not any type of blowouts. Because if it's any indication of the last couple games, they've been great games. So
definitely. So, but we appreciate the love that everybody gives us. Go Blues! Hopefully,
go Blues
can win on Wednesday. But again, this has been No BS. We love y'all. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace out, guys.